Hey, Stardusties. We've got some more missing 411. Sorta. We have strange wilderness disappearances coming up next. Missing 411-ish. Weird missing person stories. It's been a minute since we've done one. So stay tuned, little Stardusties. Only on Star Queen Paranormal. Star Queen Paranormal.
For the enthusiasts of the strange and the extraordinary.
Star Queen Paranormal. Warm welcome to you, Stardusties. This is your top secret sizzling swamp thing. Space Pirate and Star Queen. I'm your host, Exie. And as I was saying in the teaser, today's episode is more missing 411. That seems to be a fan favorite. If you don't know what missing 411 is, I'll explain it in the story. Or you can go back and listen to previous episodes. I think I have two missing 411 previous episodes. There are some stories that are missing 411 adjacent. I think those are scattered throughout the history of my podcast, too. But it's an interesting subject. The TLDR version are missing people from forests or national parks. And sometimes those disappearances are mysterious. That's right, kiddos. I use the term TLDR. How do you do, fellow children? Do the Gen Z kids love me yet? Because my iPad babies think I'm hilarious and maybe a little embarrassing. But that's right, kids. Exie is one cool lady. She's trying to channel my little old lady voice, and she ended with a witch laugh. It always ends with a witch laugh. If it didn't end with a witch laugh, did it even happen? Anyway, that's enough wasting time. Let's get down to business to read your cards. Do you even believe this? Or just certain parts?
Samda, ow! Read terrible tarot to you.
I don't know where Red Puppet keeps coming from. Your cards for today are the Nine of Wands, the Knight of Cups, and the Five of Pentacles. And as always, Stardusties, gaze deeply into the void while I gaze deeply into your cards. All right, Stardusties, take what resonates. That's a little tarot reader phrase, especially one that does like a big public tarot reading. And I found it probably means, I'm not responsible if this reading doesn't pertain to you. I am released of all liability. Take what resonates. But I am seeing that you are feeling stuck. There's something going on in your life that you've kind of hit a dead end with. And it feels like whatever this problem is can be solved by just talking to someone. Or just saying the right thing. Or just being direct with them. Like, look within yourself for the answer. But the cards are saying that you haven't done that yet. Or you're still, like, in the thinking about it phase. Because you're afraid of rejection.
You're afraid it's going to be a cold winter.
I gotta tell you, Stardusties. Sometimes the quickest way to fight your monsters is face-to-face. Just say what you need to say. It would be nice if you would think about phrasing things properly. But sometimes just gathering that strength to say what you need to say or stand up for your feelings or asserting that boundary, sometimes that's all you need to do. Sometimes the hardest step is the first step. And that was truly terrible. So today's bizarre headline is actually an older article It's from October 27th, 2022, so last year. But I felt like the research was timeless and invaluable. But research suggests that bumblebees play. Like, for fun. They play for fun. Scientists conducted a series of experiments that determined that bumblebees play for fun. In some of these experiments, they found that bumblebees would roll around on a ball. And there is video. If you type in bumblebees playing on your search engine of choice. But yeah, they found that bumblebees would roll around on a ball. They found that rolling on the ball did not contribute to immediate survival strategies, was intrinsically rewarding, differed from functional behavior and form, was repeated but not stereotyped, and was initiated under stress-free conditions, which were the markers the scientists used to determine if this was for play or if this was some kind of survival behavior. The markers that the bees passed suggested that they're playing for pleasure. Scientists excluded the possibilities that ball rolling was driven by exploration for food, clutter clearing, or mating. The way these bees play was similar to vertebrate play. And scientists also found that there were differences in how the bees played according to the age and sex of the bee. Younger bees rolled more balls than older bees. And male bees rolled individual balls for longer durations than females. After being trained to find freely movable balls in one of two differently colored chambers, bees showed a preference for the color of the chamber where they had rolled the balls. Samadi Gopayege, the lead author and PhD student, said that it is certainly mind-blowing, at times amusing, to watch bumblebees show something like play. It goes to show, once more, that despite their little size and tiny brains, they are more than small robotic beings. The researchers of this study also believe that this discovery will someday influence our understanding of sentience and may motivate more people to respect and protect wildlife. Now again, I encourage you to look up bumblebees playing or do bumblebees play on your search engine of choice. There are a lot of fun videos of the little bees playing. And I thought that was some important news that my Stardusties needed to know. And in this corner, we have the main story. If you're a regular Stardusty, then you would be familiar with the concept of the missing 411. However, if you're a brand new Stardusty, and you're just joining us today, I do have previous episodes, but in a nutshell, the missing 411 is based on the research of David Politis, who details missing person stories, especially those in the wilderness. So national parks, forests. David Politis is a former police officer and investigator, and it is said that he noticed a strange pattern regarding missing persons cases, especially in forests and national parks. And he got to talking with some other people about it, and the park rangers also noticed strange patterns with several of these disappearances. Sometimes the disappearances are quite unusual, and sometimes people are found in really unbelievable places. The ones who are old enough to recall where they have gone, if they are found, sometimes have a more bizarre story than what people originally would have thought. But the Missing 411 is a compilation of missing persons reports in national parks and forests. And I invite you to look into it. There's a series of books. Some of them are really good. They're by David Politis. So if you look up David Politis, P-A-U-L-I-D-E-S, you should be able to find the missing 411 bucks. If that interests you. But this first story is about Stephen Rowan Griffin. In Richmond, New Hampshire, in October 2010, 2-year-old Stephen Rowan Griffin, known to his loved ones as Rowan, was playing with a group of other children at a family gathering. And like many family gatherings, the adults just kind of assumed that the other adults were keeping an eye on everything. So they were watching the kids, but they didn't really have specific kids they were watching. They were just watching the children. It didn't take long before the adults realized Rowan had gone missing. Around 3 p.m., they began to ask the other children what had happened to Rowan. And all of them pretty much said that he was last seen chasing a cat out into the wilderness. Being so young, a search party was immediately launched. And unlike my other missing 411 stories, searchers did eventually find evidence that a toddler was around. They eventually found a toddler sneaker, and they followed footprints and knew which direction he had gone in. At about 1:40 a.m., so about 11 hours later, the search team found Rowan. What's interesting is where they found Rowan. You see, he was clinging to a tree in the middle of a swamp. Now, the rescuers called out to him, and he called back, asking for his mom. But what's even more interesting is the search team had to wade out in waist-deep water to get to where Rowan was. It was unclear how Rowan got up that tree, as he was only 2 years old, and he couldn't swim. Now, I want to make a note here that there are some sources that say his clothes were completely dry. And there's another one where he said that the cows scared him. And people took that to mean that the cows were maybe big animals and he didn't have another word for big animal. But I couldn't find either of those details in the actual news sources. The being dry and the cows thing, it's all over if you want to look at TikTok videos and other missing 411 paranormal people. But I thought I should mention it, because several people tell the story that way. Other than appearing cold, Rowan seemed in perfect health. The true mystery is, how did Rowan get up that tree in the middle of the swamp, surrounded by water, when he couldn't swim? And since he was so young, we'll likely never know. But the important thing is, he was found safe. Sandra Hughes Johnson was a 54-year-old woman. She was described as an experienced outdoors woman and survivalist. Sandra enjoyed hiking, camping, and exploring the wilderness. And she was known to go solo hiking and camping occasionally. In June of 2020, Sandra was excited to tell her friends and family that she was planning a solo hiking expedition. The pandemic was weighing heavily on everyone, but Sandra figured taking a solo hiking trip was just what she needed. She was a former Maui resident that moved from Hawaii to mainland California, and she was excited to finally be outdoors again. None of her loved ones were particularly concerned. Sandra had been on many solo expeditions in the past. So she went on that solo camping trip to Sierra National Forest. That is, until July 2nd. Some hikers found her campsite in complete disarray. It looked like it had been abandoned. The hikers contacted a local ranger, and when the rangers contacted her family, they found out that she had not been heard from since June 26, 2020. But her loved ones pointed out that the campsite in disarray was not really a good sign, because Sandra was known to be very tidy and organized, especially on her camping expeditions. Sandra Johnson Hughes is described as 5'3". Records indicate that she's about 150 pounds. And she has wavy brown hair, but at the time of her hiking/camping expedition, her brown hair was dyed blue. And she has brown eyes. Ever since the discovered campsite, there had been odd sightings of her. Mostly reports from hikers who didn't realize she was missing. She was reportedly seen on Independence Day that year, so July 4th, 2 days after her campground was found. Hikers saw her and said they didn't know she was a missing person. They said she was barefoot and appeared to have a bruise on her face. Those witnesses also said that they asked if she needed any assistance, and Hughes reportedly refused assistance from other motorists. Then on July 5th, a silver Saab belonging to Sandra was found high-centered on a stump in a ravine near the Chiquito Creek trailhead. The car had collided with a tree. Based on the damage to the vehicle, officials believe the collision occurred at a slow speed. Officials decided to leave the vehicle where they found it, just in case she was returning to it for supplies. Later, a sleeping bag matching her recent REI purchase was found a few days later. Off trail, 2.5 miles north of the accident scene, and just inside the Yosemite National Park boundary. Then, reportedly, Sandra was spotted one more time on August 9th, 2020. Two hunters told officials they saw a woman with blue hair leaning against a tree along the road. She did not wave them down. She didn't attempt contact. And she did not appear distressed, but did appear visibly thinner than her last known photos. Now, all of these sightings reportedly took place not far from areas that were burned in the massive creek fire, which began Labor Day weekend of 2020 in Fresno and Madera counties. The fire was not considered fully contained until late December of that year. However, that car that they left there for Sandra didn't sustain any damage from the wildfires. After the massive search that included helicopters and several more months of searching, there just didn't seem to be any sign of Sandra. Then, on July 21st, 2021, 1 year after Sandra reportedly went missing, a man named Jake Gorba and his wife Victoria were taking a four-wheeler with their three kids up to Shut-Eye Peak. The family stopped to eat lunch, and that's when their three-year-old son began to talk to someone. He was just in our car, and he was pointing out to a certain spot in the meadow, said Victoria, Caden's mother. Caden told his parents there was a woman lying face down with her legs straight up in the air in a nearby meadow. According to Caden, the woman was unable to speak or move, and she needed help. He goes, yeah, there's a lady over in the meadow in a black shirt. And I got goosebumps, said Victoria. He says she needs our help, but she's dead and she's laying face down with her legs up. And she can't talk to me, but she's over there and we need to go help her. Jake and Victoria checked out the meadow, but they didn't see anything. Caden kept saying, trust me, Mom, trust me, trust me. And Victoria told him, I trust you, but you know I believe you 100%. The family was so spooked by what the three-year-old had seen and told them about that they decided to return home early that day instead of going to Shut-Eye Peak. And then they posted about their ghost encounter on Facebook. Quote, we put it on Facebook to see if anybody knew anything about the area, and come to find out there was a lady missing with the description that he described to us within 5 mile radius of where we were. He was very adamant that we needed to help her, and he described her down to her blue hair. He said, she has a black shirt, blue jeans, and blue hair, Mom. And that's the exact description of her when she went missing, said Victoria. Victoria also said that Caden was able to identify the woman he'd seen in 3 out of 4 photos of Hughes. The Madera County Sheriff Corporal saw the Facebook post and contacted family to investigate further. So they contacted the family and they got more information. 2 Madera County Sheriff's deputies traveled back up to the meadow with Jake and his son to investigate. But the deputies were unable to find any new evidence. What do you think, Stardusties? Do you think little Caden saw a ghost reaching out for help? And what about little Rowan up that tree? How do you suppose he got there? Maybe these things will remain a mystery. But what do you think? We want to hear from you. Write to us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com. Check us out at Star Queen Paranormal on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Donate to your favorite Star Queen at patreon.com/starqueenparanormal. Or buymeacoffee.com/starqueen. No paranormal in that. And so, Stardusties, remember to stay hydrated. Remember to focus on your breathing. Take deep belly breaths in through your nose and exhale through your mouth. And remember to find reasons to love yourself, because you're worth it. You are worthy of love. You're especially worthy of self-love. Always remember that you are mightier than the monsters. Until next time, on to the next phase in life. May your path be paved in starlight. Continue existing as you would, my dudes.